Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. First hour of our program today, let's learn about where all the happy people are. The Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index is the first and largest survey of its kind with 1,000 calls a day, 7 days a week. It is the official statistic for well-being in America. It gives a daily measure of people's well-being at the close of every day based on the World Health Organization's definition of health as not only being the absence of infirmity and disease, but also a state of physical, mental, and social well-being. You might be surprised by some of the results. You think perhaps that it would be Disneyland, often referred to as the happiest place on earth. But a little town in the state of hard-hit Michigan is actually one of the happiest places in the whole country. Number two on the list, actually. Boulder, Colorado is number one, and it's due in part to the citizens' philanthropic efforts. We'll be talking with the mayor of New Haven, Holland, Michigan, the first half hour of our program. And a little bit later, we'll speak with a senior analyst for Gallup, and that person will be telling us what makes a community happy and really where the happiest towns and states are in the USA. We'll be welcoming your phone calls. You may feel as though you live in the happiest part of the United States, so tell us all about it on this gloomy day in Milwaukee. We're going to talk about happy places. This is a pretty happy place when the sun is out. Actually, it's not bad today, but it's a little gloomy. We're welcoming phone calls at 800-486-8655. Rhonda Fanning will be taking emails, and we have a few Facebook listings as well. So you can talk about happy places either place. Either email us at talk@wpr.org, or our Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and leave your message there. Joining us, the first part of the program, Mayor Roger Bergman. He is recognized as the executive head of the city and presides over all town meetings. He has an equal voice and votes with the other members of the council. Elected to office in 2009 and has served on the council since 99. He's been a resident of Grand Haven, Michigan since, for a long time, since 1980. Born and raised in Holland, Michigan, where he attended Hope College. He's been in the retail shoe business for 44 years, associated with Boar's Bootery in downtown Grand Haven and Holland. And we're very happy to have him with us the first part of our program. Mayor Roger Bergman, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Yes.
Oh, he is. Listen
yes.
to that.
Yes.
So was this a shock to find out you're number two on this list of all the places in this country?
Well, you know, it's interesting because every time I, you know, mention that, you know, to people in our community, and as you said at the beginning, you know, I have a store in our Holland location also, and I grew up in Holland, and in this second place, happiest place, was Holland and Grand Haven. And so, you know, when I ask any of those people, they say, oh, well, of course, we already knew that.
Why did they know that? What is it about where you're living?
Well, I think there's a number of things, Kathleen. You know, there's a lot of, you know, giving. You know, there's a lot of volunteerism that is very prevalent in our area. We live in you know, what we call God's country. We live on the other side of the lake. We have the beautiful seashore, lakeshore. You know, we have the Holland and Grand Haven have the most popular state parks in the state of Michigan. And a few years ago, we had the designation as one of the top 10 beaches in the world.
Ooh.
And I forget who it was, some vacation magazine that had that information. But we have long been a vacation spot for people from as far away as St. Louis who come on a regular basis every summer to the Grand Haven area to vacation for a week with their families.
One of the top 10 beaches in the world. Do you advertise yourselves as such? Because that's a draw.
You know, I don't think they ever played on that very much, but if you come into, you know, the Grand Rapids Airport, for instance, and you check into the, you pick up your baggage, there's four murals on the wall, and one of them is of the Grand Haven Lighthouse in our beach area. And, you know, we're very proud of this community. And so often, you know, we say we take it for granted that we live, you know, along, you know, I'm two blocks from the beach.
Are you really?
Yeah, and I live in the downtown. I live above my store in the downtown area. And it's just a wonderful, you know, people say hi to each other when they walk down the street. They pass each other. We're not afraid to walk at night. And, you know, it's just, we have four seasons.
What more can you ask for?
That's right.
Let's go back to this philanthropy, because I think that that's a really key thing. The fact that a lot of people volunteer, that they give willingly. Where did that ethic come from?
You know, I think it came from, well, certainly it came from, it's faith-based, much of it's faith-based. Our two communities have a large percentage of our people that are, you know, church-going believers, and you know, and they do attend their churches and give through their churches, and their churches are involved as well in that giving, and that has been the story of this area for, you know, ever since the Europeans, the Dutch, the Germans, and the French came to this area and founded it back in the early 1800s. Last year, Grand Haven celebrated our 175th anniversary as a city. It's older than the state of Michigan.
Hmm. The well-being index looked at communities that were doing fairly well economically that had some insulation from recession, be it a military base or a university in the town. Do you feel as though Holland, Grand Haven are insulated from the recession?
Well, not really, because we are very industrial, you know, we have a lot of manufacturing, and a lot of it's related to the automotive and office furniture, and so we're not really that insulated. However, we have found that, you know, we have a lot of those entrepreneurs that are have over the years diversified and found other ways to continue to create new jobs. However, you know, our unemployment is very high. It's very high.
Mm-hmm. And the poll also looked at not every city or area is perfect, that there are areas that are just splendid about where you are and areas that need improvement. From what you're saying, I would assume that you need economic stimulus.
Yes, certainly we need economic stimulus. But some of that is happening already, and you know, we're very grateful for that. But, you know, it's through that, you know, this neighbor helping neighbor is coming to light, because we're seeing, you know, drives for food drives, as well as meeting the needs of housing and that kind of thing for people that are less fortunate, that mm-hmm. are without jobs and that kind of thing. And that's been, you know, very well received in our community. A lot of people are reaching out.
Mayor Bergman, I find it interesting that you grew up in Holland and you're in Grand Haven right now. Did you ever feel as though there was a better place to go, the grass was greener somewhere else?
No.
Really?
Not really. Yeah, really. I did not. No, I did not. I mean, I thought you were going to ask me would I move back to Holland, and I would say, you know, I'm I really like it here in Grand Haven, but I usually most days I'm in my Holland store because it's a bigger town and I've seen a lot of change in both areas, but certainly for the better. But when I have a son that lived in Ann Arbor, went to school in Ann Arbor, and then went to school in Boston, and then moved to Atlanta, and now has moved to Maryland. And I see all those. I mean, Boston is a really neat place. Atlanta is a really neat place. Where he's living in Maryland is a neat place, but Grand Haven is the best.
So he wants to come home.
Oh, I think, yes. I think someday he'll want to come home, sure.
Oh, I like that story. Let's welcome phone calls. We're happy to be speaking with the mayor of Grand Haven, Michigan, Holland, Michigan, where he grew up, and he has a shoe store in both Holland and Grand Haven. The mayor is with us this first part of the program. Let me give you the top 10 so you get a sense of where the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index is going with this. It's a massive survey that they've done. The top 10 cities, do you agree or not? Boulder, Colorado was number one. Holland, Michigan was number two. Honolulu, next. Provo, Utah. Santa Rosa, Santa Barbara, San Jose, Washington, D.C., Ogden, Utah, and Oxnard, California. So as you can see, there were very, very few places east of the Mississippi that were listed here. I think it's only two, right? Washington and Holland, Michigan. One of the reasons Holland was number two was the incredible spirit of giving that our guest has talked about. What about your city? What about Holland? Some of you have a familiarity. We have some Facebook messages. One of them is on Holland. Does it make a difference where you live? Have you moved to a certain area simply because it made you happy? You liked the people. You thought that there was a university-stimulating environment in the community. You liked the neighborhood. Does where we live make us happy or sometimes unhappy? Does it make a difference in the quality of your life? I would expect your answer is yes. So let's talk about happy places. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. And the email address is talk@wpr.org. The Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index had interviews with 353,000 Americans last year, asking people to assess their jobs, finances, physical health, emotional state of mind, and communities. Most of the cities, as you can tell, are in the West, and most of the lowest scoring cities are in the South. The research director will be joining us in just a moment. The wealthier cities, I guess to be expected, typically score a bit higher. And residents of large cities, those that have about a million or more in population, generally report higher levels of well-being. Your comments about your place or questions for the mayor of Grand Haven, Michigan, we'll start taking them in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, Judith Warner will join us, author of We've Got Issues, Children and Parents in the Age of Medication. Joining us from Michigan, a couple blocks from the beach, and it's one of the top 10 beaches in the world in Holland, Michigan. Did you know that about Holland, Michigan? That's news to me. I'm on my way. We're talking about the happiest places in America and welcoming your phone calls. Anne is our first caller, Mayor Bergman from Eau Claire. Hello, Anne.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling because I grew up in Holland, Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
I did. I lived there until I graduated from high school in 1988. And to be honest, when I graduated, my family still lives there. And when I graduated, I was very excited to go out and see the world. And I went to Ann Arbor, and my husband was in the military, and we lived all over the Southeast. And when we were getting ready to settle down, I said to my husband, I want to raise our kids in a town like Holland, Michigan.
Hmm.
And so we really went out to try to look for that sense of community. And it always amazed me how Holland has rejuvenated itself over the years. When I left in 1988, the downtown area was in decline. It was somewhat depressed. And now when you go back downtown, there's been so much investment in bringing the town back to life. There's wonderful restaurants and shops. and we just enjoy going back there so much in the summer. Any time of year, really.
Do you find Eau Claire comparable?
Well, we have been very happy in Eau Claire. We found a great sense of community here, and it has a very similar feel. You know, it's about the same size as Holland. I would love to see the downtown in Eau Claire come back to life like the downtown in Holland has. It's very impressive what Holland has done with their downtown. There's still the same stores that I like to go to when I was a kid, like the Peanut Store, which is an amazing candy store. My kids love it there. And there's Treehouse Books and Boar's Bootery, of course. I spent one summer at the sidewalk sale pouring lemonade at Boar's Bootery.
Oh, my gosh, what a small world this is. I love it. Mayor Bergman, what do you say?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say when I said about one of the top 10 beaches, it's in Grand Haven, not in Holland.
Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to correct on that because there may be some people that are listening there say, wait a minute, he said Grand Haven.
Sorry, it's
anyway,
in Grand Haven.
And I have to be very careful because I have a business in Holland. I grew up in Holland, but I represent Grand Haven,
mm-hmm.
and we're about 25 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what she's saying about the downtown in Holland. It's just phenomenal. I mean, I've been in business in downtown Holland for 44 years, and the change and how it's been rejuvenated is entirely. And when she talks about the Holland Peanut Store and some of the other stores that are downtown, it's they know you by name, and you know them by name. That's the kind of area that we live in. It's the same thing in Grand Haven. We have a peanut store here, Fortino's, and even my grandkids. Grandpa, can we go to Fortino's today?
Oh.
No, that's what it's about.
And how have the places been able to rejuvenate themselves to have that charm to be able to keep businesses, small businesses like peanut places, going?
Well, I think the way that it happens is that people support it. Local people support local businesses. That is, the key, that a lot of people do not understand what malls have done to America,
mm-hmm.
to the fabric of our communities. I always call it the rubber stamping of America.
Hmm.
When you can go any place and see a Staples or a Menards, and they all look the same. And when you go in, what aisle to go down. Because in whatever city you're in. And, that's not what America was like, and that's not what keeps people happy. I think what keeps people happy is when you can go to the grocery store and say hi to the clerk who's checking you out, or you can go to the hardware store and ask about, a particular item that you need, and they know exactly what you're looking for, and they help you find it. That kind of thing. That's, then you whistle as you leave the door. You're whistling as you leave the store.
That's great. You whistle when you leave.
Yeah.
Can it be too cloying? Can people be into each other's business too much?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think you can be afraid of that. I mean, yeah, that can happen, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ann, for your call. We go next to Donna from Black River Falls. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment. I have lived all over the United States and Europe, and when we came back this time from Tennessee, we settled in Black River, and this has just been the most unique experience for us because it is a small town, but yet we're close enough to all of the big stuff that we don't have far to go for that. So I've been to Holland, Michigan with my husband. He's an over-the-road truck driver, and it is a unique town also.
So you feel happy there?
Pardon me?
You feel happy there, and do you have a sense that where you live can make you happy or unhappy? Other factors,
oh, yes.
too, but the
yes.
place is important.
I'm extremely happy there in Black River. We have, this really awesome walking trail right across the road from where I live. We have a big water park, but it's not huge. It's just, you know, nice. And it's just a really nice community to be in.
All right. Thank you, Donna, very much for your call. You sound, actually, Mayor Bergman, like a very happy person. I haven't talked to you for very long, but you can hear it in your voice. Do you think if you were planted in, I don't know, some city that was on the bottom of the list or some state that was on the bottom of the list, I guess West Virginia is on the bottom of the list, or some of the southern cities that didn't fare very well, your happiness would be at risk?
Well, I certainly would do my best. I would certainly do my best to change, to work at changing their happiness scale. I would do what I could to change that happiness scale. I mean, I might not be as happy, but I certainly would work hard to make myself happier. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know.
I would probably try to be on their city council, or I would try to be on one of their boards or commissions and say, you know, what can we do to make, you know, this a better place to be?
And they would be happy to have you asking that very question. Thanks, Donna, for your call. Here's an email that's come in from Beth, I believe. Yes, Beth. I have wonderful memories of Holland, Michigan, as a child growing up near Detroit. It was one of those places that our school took for field trips. I remember Holland as a quaint, clean city, and I'm wondering if they still have the Tulip Festival.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They certainly do. Both towns, you know, Holland has a Tulip Festival in May, and it's, you know, it used to be the second most popular festival in the country, the Mardi Gras being the top one, and then Tulip Time was after that. And I don't know what place it's in anymore, but it attracts hundreds of thousands of people every May. And then Grand Haven has the Coast Guard Festival in August, the end of July and the 1st of August. And that attracts hundreds of thousands of people also.
And what is that, Professor Mayor Bergman, the Postcard Festival?
The Coast Guard?
Oh, the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
I thought you said postcard.
No, Coast Guard.
Oh.
Coast Guard. We are Grand Haven is Coast Guard City, USA.
Oh.
We're the only Coast Guard City, USA in the country, and we throw a party for the Coast Guard.
Oh, that's a great thing to do. You have a party for the Coast Guard.
Yes, we have a party for the Coast Guard, and we get Coast Guard, ships that come, icebreakers that come.
Oh.
And often we have the Canadians send a Coast Guard vessel as well. And so we have about a week and a half celebration. And we usually get the top admiral to come down and visit us as well. And we have a good relationship with the Coast Guard.
Oh, that sounds like great fun.
It is. It's, yeah. It's especially fun being mayor of the town during that week because I get to do lots of neat things with the Coast Guard.
Let's go to Jerry Ann. Hi, Jerry Ann.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Thank you. I think I'm on the same theme as your previous caller, Donna, and Mayor Bergman, and that is you make your own happiness wherever you are. My husband was in the Air Force for 21 years, and we lived all over this country and in other countries, including Tehran, Iran, and we liked everywhere, everywhere we lived. And we're in South Milwaukee now, and we just love it. It's not for the downtown. It's not for any great resort or attraction or anything. It's the people, so far as I'm concerned. When I heard that what your program was going to be today, it reminded me of a little story a man I worked with told me one time. He had moved as we had a couple of times, and he told me the story of a man who was just disgusted with the town he lived in. The people were mean, they were rude, they were self-centered, and so forth. And he decided he was going to move. And en route, he fell into a conversation with a man from the town he was going to. And he said, well, what are the people like in the town you're from? And the man he was talking to said, well, what were the people like in the town you're moving out of? And he said, well, they were mean and selfish and so forth. And he said, well, then that's probably what the people will be like in the town you're moving to.
Huh.
And I think Mayor Bergman is really right about the influence of malls and how that has isolated people and taken away from the community aspect. And so we try to support local businesses as much as possible, but I'm interested in knowing if the mayor has any recommendations for people who want that community feeling, how to try to get it back in this era of big malls.
Okay. Thanks so much for your call. Great call. You have advice, Mayor Bergman?
Well, you know, it's interesting that she said that because I think that, you know, I think one of the first things to do is I think if she knows, you know, there's an area near where she lives that has like an old, you know, neighborhood shopping area, visit some of the more progressive merchants in that area and suggest that they form a group and promote this concept of local, buy local. I know a few years ago there was a group of merchants that got together in the Grand Rapids area, which is to the east of us, about 30 miles, and they started this buy local group, and that's expanded, and it's all, you know, local merchants, local restaurants, local hardware stores, all of those kind of things. That, and their goal is to, you know, keep those smaller merchants, local merchants, alive. And what that does for a community is it brings this sense of ownership and you know, getting to know your neighbors and those kinds of things. It has a spin-off.
Sure.
And if you can do that kind of thing in your own town, promote that ownership of your local community, I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to say goodbye to you now. Do you want to whistle as you head out the door? I don't really know how, or I would. I'd try now, but I don't think I'd have to learn if I lived where you live.
Well, actually, it's kind of a rainy day out here today, so... but, you know, the nice thing about that is it's going to wash away the dirt from the winter snows, and that's a good thing. And soon we'll be seeing those tulips popping through the ground.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
You know, spring will be here, and then summer, and I'm looking forward to all of that.
Yes, I am too. Thank you, Mayor Bergman, so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And congratulations on that designation. Mayor Roger Bergman is the mayor of Grand Haven, Michigan, which is about 25 miles from Holland. He grew up in Holland, and he has shoe stores, actually, in Grand Haven and also in Holland. His Holland location has been around for some 44 years. In case you're just tuning us in and wondering what the heck is going on, Holland, according to this study, and we're going to hear more about the study in the next part of our show, the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index is considered the second happiest place in this country. That's quite an honor. I'd say quite an honor. We'll talk about other places now. So your phone calls, of course, will still be good for the second half hour of our program. We'll look more at the other cities, whether they were large, whether they were small, why so many were in the western part of the United States, why Holland was chosen as number two, what's number one, what about Wisconsin cities. Our guest now is a principal researcher for Gallup, Dan Witters. He's been specializing in managing research programs designed to measure and enhance customer loyalty and workplace engagement, with a special emphasis on healthcare and health-related research, including the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. He's been talking quite a bit about this study that was just out, because he's the senior analyst for Gallup and was heavily involved in coming up with this well-being index. Our phone number remaining, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Hi, Dan. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning. Happy
Hi.
To be here.
Where do you live?
I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha. I didn't expect that answer. And how's Omaha?
Omaha is good, although it's cloudy and rainy today. So we're hunkering down and waiting for spring to finally arrive.
Yeah, we just talked to the mayor of, well, he has a shoe shop in Holland, Michigan, and they have the same weather there, and we have the same weather. But he was talking about the tulips blooming, and they're not very far away. How did Omaha fare on this whole index you put together?
Omaha did okay.
Really?
In general, Nebraska, kind of fell somewhere around the middle. Omaha, out of 187 metro areas that we had enough data collected for to report back upon, finished 73rd. Lincoln, which was the other city inside of the state that we had enough data to report on, finished 81st. So both of them were, and between Lincoln and Omaha, for your listeners that aren't familiar with Nebraska, that's over half of the entire population of the state are found in those two metro areas. So that's a big chunk of it. And both were kind of around the middle, a little bit above average.
And give us an indication of all that you looked at. It's a very extensive survey to determine well-being. What determines well-being?
It is. It is indeed meant to be a very comprehensive measure. So when Gallup and HealthWays entered into this partnership and the measurement began back in January of 2008, the idea was to embrace the definition provided by the World Health Organization on health as not just an absence of infirmary and disease, but also something that includes physical, mental, and social well-being. And that's what we set about to do here. So oftentimes, folks confuse well-being with happiness, or treat the two synonymously, or maybe physical health. That's another common way of connecting the two. We certainly include emotional health and physical health in our overall definition of well-being, but we go well beyond that because we want a more comprehensive view of it. So, for example, we also include something that we call basic access. That includes feeling safe walking around at night or having health insurance or easy to get clean water. We include something called the Work Environment Index because work is a big part of our collective well-being. That ought to be a part of our measure. So we look at job satisfaction and supervisor relationships. We also look at healthy behaviors. Do you exercise? Do you eat your fruits and veggies? Do you smoke? And then finally, we also look at something that's called life evaluation, which gets where people can evaluate their life on an imaginary 10-rung ladder, where the top rung is your best possible life today, and then again 5 years from now, and the bottom rung is your worst possible life. So those are four other places, in addition to emotional health and physical health. In aggregate, you have six separate sub-indexes that roll together into an overall composite score. So we think we have very good bandwidth as far as how we evaluate well-being inside of the U.S.
My, that's so comprehensive. And it's interesting to think about those questions as well, which many times we don't.
You bet.
Why is it that you found that most of the cities, not all of them, that's why we picked out Holland, Michigan, because it was an anomaly here. Most of the cities are west of the Mississippi. They're in the west. The south didn't fare very well. The Midwest didn't fare all that well. And the east didn't fare very well.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find a range inside of each region. So you'll have strong well-being and poor well-being across all four of them. But it's true that the states and the metro areas that tend to have the best well-being are more generally found in the west, and you find more of those on the lower end in the southern region, and then you kind of have a mixture in the Midwest and in the east. And, you know, there's a variety of things that can play into that. One indicator that doesn't hurt is just simple household income. Income matters with a lot of these metrics that go into well-being, and the well-being index measures align fairly well with it. And so you see that reflected in higher household income states, which are more commonly found out west compared to lower income well-being states down south.
I see.
That's not the whole story, though, obviously. A lot more goes into it than that. Montana, for example, is a good example because that's a state that, has a really pretty low median household income, but it's number three in overall well-being. So, you know, there's a lot more. There's lifestyle choices. There's the kind of foods that we eat. There's the kind of weather that we have to enjoy that affords us the opportunity to be outdoors more. I think all of those things can play into how healthy we are, and both emotionally and physically.
I guess one of the reasons we were surprised and we pointed out Holland, Michigan, is that we're talking about a state here that's been so hard hit economically, and the mayor was talking about how many people were unemployed, and yet it's still ranked number two because it sounds like the kind of place you'd want to be. You whistle when you leave the place that you've done business. People really are taking care of each other. There's a lot of philanthropy going on. And it also has this, instead of every block looking the same as any other block in major places all over the United States, it has a character. It has unique shops, people who've been doing their business for years and years and years.
Yeah, Holland's an interesting place. Gallup only reports on metro areas where we have captured at least 300 completed interviews. So certainly we had data on more metro areas with fewer than that, but we demand that we have a certain level of stability around those results. That is a sufficiently tight error range around the numbers that we feel very confident reporting on them. In the case of Holland, we had 322 completes, and the number of completed interviews is going to kind of roughly approximate the population size, right? So the smaller cities will have fewer completes, and larger places like Milwaukee will have a lot more. But in Holland's case, with 322 randomly selected folks, you've got enough data that you can make some pretty good conclusions around their well-being. And indeed, it's a place that it had a lot of things going for it. The single best thing in the Holland, and this includes Grand Haven, it's the Holland-Grand Haven metro area. The single best thing they have going for them is physical health and basic access. In those two domains, Holland is number one in the nation out of 187 cities.
Goodness gracious.
In terms of physical health and basic access. And so they got a lot of good things going for them. With physical health, for example, nationally, the number of the percentage of people that are obese is now up around 26.5%. It's only about 21% in Holland. If you look at people that don't have health problems, for example, to prevent age-appropriate activities, that's true of 77% of us nationwide, but it's true of about 85% of people in Holland. If you look at things like basic access, for example, nationwide, the percentage of us that have health insurance, which has slowly but surely eroded over the last couple of years since we started measurement, from about 85% of Americans down to about 83.5%. Inside of Holland, Michigan, it's 87.5%. So you have greater percentages with health insurance. So physical health and basic access are all things that it's really got going for it. Here's another good one for you, feeling safe walking alone at night. Nationally, about 70% of us agree that we feel safe walking alone at night in our community. Inside of the Holland, Grand Haven metro area, that number is up close to 87%.
My goodness.
That's a big thing, and it really helps them out.
How did Wisconsin fare? You want to highlight certain places in our fair state?
Sure. Wisconsin has been around the middle 2 years running. In 2008, Wisconsin's overall well-being index composite score rank on the Gallup Healthways rankings was 24th. A year later, it was 27th. Hmm. So it stayed about the same. The actual score itself, 65.9 to 66.0, was flat, and then the rank just slightly changed a little because states are moving around it. Inside, so I'll start with the state first, and then I'll talk about maybe a few of the cities. But inside of the state, the biggest strengths for Wisconsin are emotional health and basic access. That was true in 2008. It remains true in 2009. So with basic access, for example, Wisconsin is seventh in the nation in health insurance. Over 88% of Wisconsinites have it, well above that national average that I mentioned earlier of about 83.5. Really good one is clean, safe water. That's an exceptionally important natural resource that some states have and other states don't. Inside of Wisconsin, close to 97% of you feel that you have clean, safe water. That's good for third in the nation. And feeling safe walking alone at night, 12th in the nation. So those are pretty good things in the basic access area. Emotional health, too, there's some real strengths inside of Wisconsin. So among other things, percent of you that do not have depression, 84%, that is, have never been clinically diagnosed with depression. That's good for 7th. In the nation. The percent of Wisconsinites that don't have worry on a daily basis, over 70%. That's good for 7th in the nation. So I think those are the two big strengths for Wisconsin as a state.
Right. We'll look at individual areas in a moment. I want to get to phone calls, and we need to pause for just a moment. So we'll do that and return. Our number is 800-486-8655. Dan Witters is our guest, senior analyst for Gallup, and we're talking about their study, their well-being index, what makes a community a happy place, where the happiest places in the United States are located. We'll be with you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's take a few more phone calls. Bobby from Minnesota, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if I can get a website to go to find out the name of the cities that fare best for people living. Is there a website that we can go to? He's talking about this well-being index.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, hi. I can help with that. There are different sources that you can draw upon to gather city-level data. The USA Today, just a couple of weeks ago, had a nice article that's still available online that provides the data across all 187 reported sites that Gallup has measured inside of the metro areas. You can also go to Gallup.com, which is Gallup's homepage, and go inside of the well-being tab, and you'll find a lot of articles on well-being, including our summary of 2009 results for all of the metro areas.
Thanks, Bobby, so much for the call. Paul is next from Clintonville. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen, and your guest.
Hi, Paul.
I'm a California native, a transplant. Actually, I grew up in San Diego, California. And, you can talk weather and all that kind of thing, a beautiful city and whatever. And ended up here in Clintonville, naval retiree, been here 17 years. And, of course, the weather is a thing. But more than anything else, it would seem to me, people commented, it is the people. And from what I can tell, it's kind of in response to population pressure. The more people, by the droves that you have, the more problems you have with just people getting along with each other. It's just too many different personalities and too many problems. It's competition in California where I was, all the time competition. I guess, the famous freeways and their problems, I can, recall day after day, get on the road and you get your one-finger salutes. It's a daily maintenance check, so to speak, from people just being upset. I think I can count on one hand the time in 17 years that ever, happened in Wisconsin. It's just a different manner of being here. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I'm on a little farm out here, and life is slow. Sure, you have 5,000 people in the city, but if I get a real hankering, I can, you know, jog off 40 miles to Appleton or Green Bay and, you know, get my city fixed, so to speak.
Dan.
Yeah, the people certainly matter. It plays a significant role in well-being. I think the parts of the well-being index, when you look at the Gallup HealthWays data, that are most influenced by the personality and the culture of the folks that live inside of your community boils down to emotional health and to basic access, and maybe a little bit to healthy behaviors and that how we influence one another. So emotional health, for example, includes things like, were you treated with respect yesterday? Did you smile or laugh a lot? Did you feel stress or anger? Did you experience happiness? Those are all things that I think are going to be largely influenceable by the folks around you and up to and including the pace of the lifestyle inside of your city. Certainly in basic access, do you feel like your city is getting better? Do you have a safe place to go exercise, or do you feel safe walking around at night? Do you have enough money for adequate shelter? Those are all things that can be influenced by the culture. So that's going to be part of it. But there's other parts, too, that are, I think, going to be more based upon policy making. That's going to be more based upon the decisions that are coming down either at the national level or the state level and then funneled through at the local level that can impact their scores. So it's a mixture, but there's no doubt that the kind of folks that are around us can have a big role in the sense of a mutual commonwealth and being beholden to one another for our mutual well-being.
And yet the study, the well-being study, did find that residents of large cities, a population of a million or more, generally report higher levels of well-being and more optimism about the future than those in small or medium-sized cities.
Yeah, and that's an interesting finding, and it's something that I think is counterintuitive for some folks. It maybe bucks some conventional wisdom.
Yes.
But, yeah, in general, one of the things that you find is that large cities, in fact, do have slightly better well-being than their smaller counterparts. Now, there's a mixture, of course. With big cities, the big keys for them are what we call life evaluation and physical health. Life evaluation is how you rate your life on that 10 rung ladder today, and again 5 years from now. You just get better evaluations of our lives inside of the larger cities than the small. Same for physical health. Yeah, a lot of people might think we'd be more physically healthy in the smaller communities. Not true. Residents of large cities tend to be less likely to have high blood pressure. They're less likely to be diagnosed with diabetes.
That's interesting.
Cancer incidence, slightly lower in big cities than in small. And obesity, higher in small cities than in large cities. And so, on the whole, the large cities are a little better. Those are the main reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Julie is next from Rice Lake. Hi, Julie.
Good morning. I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, not far from Holland and Grand Haven and those places.
Mm-hmm.
And I would classify them as nice places to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. And here's why. And I haven't heard this brought up at all. They are politically very conservative communities, and they do not match my own personal politics. If you go to those places, especially Holland, you will find it is a very blonde-haired, blue-eyed Christian Reformed Church, which is a branch of the Presbyterians, is very strong there. That's who settled the area. And if that's, you know, your lifestyle and that's what you like, then it is a good place. But the thing I worry about with this whole poll is places like Holland and Provo, Utah, are very homogeneous. They're very politically conservative. And if you're not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, a member of their particular set of beliefs, you're an outsider. And I do have a bit of trouble with that in terms of diversity issues and so on and so forth. Not that there's anything wrong with being blonde-haired and blue-eyed. I am myself. but we have to think about causation here. And the key thing we need to think about is, okay, does a conservative lifestyle cause happiness? Or does happiness cause conservatism? And, you know, people who are happy tend to want to keep things the way they are.
Oh, that's an interesting point. And subject of another another talk show. I mean, I agree with her. I like cities that have, I like to live in cities that have a mix of people. To me, that makes me happier. We're out of time. But if people go to the Gallup site, they'll be able to get a rundown of some cities. Can you give us just a couple that were somewhat close to the top before we say goodbye?
Yeah, sure. Number one, Boulder, Colorado. Number two, Holland. Number three, Honolulu. So those are your top three among large cities. Seventh and eighth overall, San Jose, California, and interestingly, this will be of interest to your last caller, Washington, D.C.
Right.
Number eight in the nation, big population, but really pretty good and very diverse group, really very good well-being.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us. Dan Witters, if you go to Gallup.com, they have a very extensive list of the well-being index, so you can find out more about Wisconsin. Thanks so much to Rhonda Fanning for producing this happy show. It was fun, wasn't it? And thanks to Rhonda as well for answering your phone calls. We have another hour to come, so stay with us for the latest news on the Ideas Network.